Sweet Tea and Tacos. I'm Dave.
And I'm Jen.
And this time on the Super Bowl of Food, continuing episode 3, sides, Thanksgiving sides. So obviously we've talked about turkey.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to have some things to go with it. And you have traditional things.
Right.
So I think probably what the number one thing people think of is what? Dressing, stuffing?
Yeah.
I think that would probably be the first thing.
Right? I do too. And cranberries.
And cranberries would be probably the next one.
Yeah.
Or maybe those would be neck and neck.
Yeah.
So, stuffing / dressing.
Yes. Okay. So, you know, we live in the South, down here.
It's
called dressing. And it's a little bit different than what you think of maybe as stuffing.
Yeah.
Stuffing is more of a bread based.
Yep.
Now, dressing can have some bread in it,
yep.
Some breadcrumbs and things, or some rice, but it's mainly a cornbread based
right
thing.
Yeah. Now, my dad, his family mm-hmm. is more from the
Midwest Ohio area. Mm-hmm.
So he grew up with a sausage stuffing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they didn't stuff it.
Right.
But they called it a sausage.
And I don't think anybody does that anymore.
I think most people don't, yeah. And it's a bread and sausage and
it's got celery.
Celery.
It's actually really
parsley,
good.
Yeah, but it's like wheat bread cubed mm-hmm. up and mm-hmm. dried.
Yeah.
Big cubes of bread, mm-hmm. you know. But yeah, I really, and like I think he puts water chestnuts in it, mm-hmm. things like mm-hmm. that. But mm-hmm. it's really good.
Yeah.
But I never really grew up eating cornbread dressing mm-hmm. until we started dating.
Yeah.
But that cornbread dressing is great. we always make as much as we can.
Yes.
So,
and it always gets eaten.
It always gets eaten. Yeah, it's no worries there.
So if you're not familiar with it, which, you know, I know people who are living in our area are probably very familiar, but yeah. If you're not, you make cornbread, you crumb it up. Or cube it up.
Yeah.
But probably crumb it with a food processor
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, and it usually goes to crumb pretty easily.
Right. It does. And then you saute vegetables like onion, bell pepper, celery, green onion.
Mm-hmm.
We put
parsley.
Parsley, like some.
Not cilantro.
Yeah, there's a story
there's
there.
A story there. So, yes, when we were dating, I'll tell a food embarrassing story.
It was either when we were dating or first married.
One of the two. I got sent to the store to, you know,
buy the veg
provision
and stuff. Yeah,
and I'm gonna blame this on the grocery store that the cilantro and the flat leaf parsley, because they use flat leaf Italian parsley,
yes.
were right next to each other.
Yes, and they do look a lot alike.
Very
to your credit,
similar. And I did not look closely enough, and we were making it,
I think we were at the table.
We were at the table, and people were like, this is different.
I said, did you get cilantro? You're like, oh, no, no,
no, no, no, no, no, no. Yeah.
I said, I think you did.
I think you did. So, yeah, make sure you get the right kind of parsley. just FYI.
Right.
But, yeah, so
flat leaf or curly
right.
or whatever.
And we
basically
puree it almost in the food processor.
Yeah.
And then saute that off with butter.
Butter.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
It's Thanksgiving. All rules are out the window.
Absolutely.
And then we, you know, you combine that.
Yeah. With like seasonings, you know, salt, pepper.
Poultry
seasoning or sage.
Right.
Those type of things. And then you add chicken stock to
right.
it. Or if you have turkey stock.
Yeah. And it just really just holds a lot of liquid.
Yeah.
And then we would use like a baguette, crumbed baguette too.
Yep. Or you can throw a little rice if you've got some pre-cooked rice in the fridge.
Help, you know, with the liquid
exactly.
ratio. And then divvy that into buttered pans.
Mm-hmm.
And
just bake it.
Bake
you know,
it, yeah.
And usually while you're cooking it, I would stir it
right.
once or twice just to make sure that liquid has mm-hmm. dispersed throughout.
Right. Yep. So, it's got a fine consistency, mm-hmm. you know, it's not clumpy, it's real mm-hmm. just moist.
And it's not mushy-gushy either.
Dense,
like, you've done something wrong if it's mush.
Right, if it's super dense, you've done something wrong.
Yeah.
So, there you go, there's dressing. Now, yep. the other thing that I didn't grow up with either was fresh cranberries.
Oh, okay.
And you guys, when we started dating or were first married,
yeah.
your family always made fresh cranberry sauce, mm-hmm. and I was shocked at how easy it is.
Yeah. It is.
It is. I mean, the hardest part to me was just washing the cranberries.
Yeah.
I mean, you see these bags of cranberries in the grocery store, and like, okay, wow, that takes a lot of work. It really doesn't.
No.
You wash them, make sure they're, you know, just like pick through them.
Yep.
Throw them in a pan with some sugar.
And you can That's do it. All kinds of things. You can put a cinnamon stick, or yeah. you can add some
cloves. I mean, what do you
orange juice? Yeah. There's a lot of good recipes out
but
there.
But that doesn't take long. And then you just let it cook for a while, and then cool it off, yeah. and it just
and it kind of congeals a little bit
because of the sugar content. Right. And
it's
then
it's kind of like a, it's not a jelly, but you know, it just it's not just this liquidy.
Thing. No, and it's I really like that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, those are the, of course there's you know. All kinds of canned cranberries.
Right. We're not a big fan of the things that you would find in an actual aluminum can.
No, but there's there a lot of good some jarred ones that are really good.
That are there's one particular retailer that sells one that we really like. And that has been a time saver for us. I mean, we've bought it through the years just to have around this season for maybe turkey sandwiches. But we've kind of and we need to get back to our fresh cranberry thing. But it's easy to just pop up in that jar and put it on
especially
a nice
dish. Especially when you're doing two or three meals in the course of a week and a half or 2 weeks.
Yeah.
For groups and this and that and the other. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, all right. So, beyond those two, some of your other traditional sides. We've got the potato side.
Yep. So, the potato thing, this is just my opinion. Take it for whatever it's worth. I kind of feel like, you know, in the South here, we tend to do more sweet potatoes. And I think that's just kind of a regional thing as far as what grew here, you know. And then maybe in the more northern states in America, they gravitate possibly more towards Irish potatoes and doing things like mashed potatoes and maybe a gratin or whatever. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people have on their table a sweet potato casserole.
Right.
And it can have either like marshmallows on top or some kind of a crumb topping with maybe pecans and sugar and that kind of thing.
Yeah. So there was this restaurant we would go to sometimes, and they had on one of their sides was a sweet potato casserole or gratin.
Mm-hmm.
And what I liked about it, it was in a very thin dish.
Mm-hmm.
So it was the topping to sweet potato ratio was really, really good. But we've done that, where it's, you know, it's pureed sweet potatoes that you've baked.
And it's very easy.
It's really easy.
You just bake those in the oven and scoop it out, you know, and maybe run it through the food processor just to get the consistency
a little
better.
Add some spices.
Yeah.
The only thing is it becomes, for me, a lot like a sweet potato pie.
Ah.
So that, you know, when you're planning your menu is one of those things. Well, then maybe I won't have a sweet potato. But it's all, and sweet potato and pumpkin can be so similar, too.
They can, especially in a pie.
Right, yeah. So, the other thing that you guys did was just, your mom called candied sweet potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
And it was they were really kind of fingers, the way she cut them.
Yes.
About 2 inches long, about an inch diameter.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they would be peeled.
Yep.
You'd peel the sweet potatoes, cut them like that, put them in a pan on the stove with some sugar.
Yep.
And water.
Yep. And spices.
And spices, and let them kind of just cook or steam or almost boil a little bit.
Yeah, probably simmer. Like a simmer.
Yeah.
And
because they weren't fully immersed. It was
no, just not a lot of water.
Right.
And the trick was to not stir them very much. Like you wanted to stir it at the beginning to get all the sugar and stuff incorporated.
Right, once it comes to heat.
But if you stir it too much, they can kind of go to mush.
So when they come out, they still have their form. Mm-hmm. But they're very tender and flavorful. I really like those.
Yeah.
A very different way to the sweet potatoes.
Yeah, not a real easy way to do it, but very good if you can.
Yeah.
If you can manage it.
And then you got the potato. So for us, mainly that has been mashed potatoes.
Mm-hmm. And your family always did mashed
always
potatoes.
Always did mashed potatoes. Yeah.
And like my grandmother, who grew up in Indiana, always had mashed potatoes on the table. That's why I think it's maybe a little bit of a north-south thing.
Yeah.
Although, who doesn't like mashed potatoes?
Well, of course.
You know, who doesn't really like sweet potatoes?
But we've
either.
We've actually stopped doing mashed potatoes on Thanksgiving just to make it a little bit easier on ourselves.
It's just too much to try to do both for us.
Yeah, and our kids aren't real happy with us.
Well, we decided we were going to push the mashed potatoes to Christmas.
And so that's one of the things we do. We, you know, I know sometimes growing up we would still have turkey on Christmas. And, you know, sometimes you can't get enough turkey. But sometimes it's nice to do something different. And so mm-hmm. we pushed mashed potatoes to Christmas along mm-hmm. with maybe a different type of main course.
Right, like a roast or beef Wellington
or something different like that, yeah. But so our kids let us know. They're not happy. But see, dressing, Corbett dressing, matter of fact, more so than stuffing, mm-hmm. is a good carrier of gravy.
Yes.
So you still have a gravy carrier.
Right, you still got a kind of a starchy thing.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. So, and then, of course, green vegetables. You've right. got, you know, the traditional green bean casserole. I don't really know how that started, but, you know, it's gooey. It's and
probably the cream of mushroom soup manufacturer probably. Started that recipe
yeah.
or something.
Yeah, it's still good.
No, it is.
But we've done it even from scratch, where we've made a cream sauce, and we've made, you know, sauteed our own
fresh mushrooms. Yep.
We did not fry our own onion top.
No, we didn't get that far. But there's actually some really good crispy fried onions out there,
yeah.
Like we found at
some places.
Yeah.
But green, just any really green vegetable. Mm-hmm. We've done, actually our kids really like the Brussels sprouts.
Yep.
So I'll do them in a pan. I've done them a couple different ways. I'll usually throw some pecans in right at the end. Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe we've done shallot with them.
I've done shallots in there, you know, and it really is just, it's the fresh Brussels sprouts cut in half mm-hmm. in a pan, sauteed, put the lid on it, let it steam a little bit, salt and pepper. And then shallots, garlic, you know,
nuts.
Pecans. I've used a little balsamic mm-hmm. vinegar in there sometimes.
Yeah. A little sweetness adds a
little sweetness in it. They've enjoyed that.
Then you could do regular green beans.
Right, broccoli.
Or you could have, you know, like English peas or something, which is really easy. You could buy those canned or frozen.
Yeah, and that's what I had growing up, mm-hmm. the peas and mm-hmm. the, I guess we had green bean casserole. But yeah, English peas were a lot on mm-hmm, that thing. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, and then a thing that we do, I don't know if it's regional, I guess, but I grew up eating this a lot for Thanksgiving, is the ambrosia, which is a salad that has orange, mm-hmm. you know, the orange slices.
Yeah.
And coconut, some kind of nut. Some people will put like a maraschino cherry in it.
Yeah.
That's not my preference. My mom never did. Mm-hmm. It was basically just the fresh oranges. You know, yeah. I mean, that's kind of labor intensive.
It is.
Although you could buy some canned little mandarin orange sections.
Right.
And then the coconut and the nuts.
Shredded coconut and the nuts, yeah.
It's mm-hmm. really good.
Yeah.
Or something like, what are those things we've got in the past couple of years? The pickled peaches?
Pickled peaches and pickled beets.
Yeah. I know your parents would usually have a little tray.
Yeah,
of
my mom
things
always.
With
yeah,
pickles and olives and
yeah,
things.
Little finger things.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a precursor.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then rolls. You got to have a bread of some sort.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell another story of my brother. For many years, he would just get a loaf of Wonder Bread.
Yeah. Like just kind of some white bread.
And turkey and mayo. Yeah. And that was his Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
But he's grown. He's become very culinary. So,
yeah.
But I give him a hard time about that.
Yeah.
Not too hard
I remember us having Thanksgiving at our house one year, and we had to buy that
some white bread
for Michael.
But yeah, so, you know, it's hard to say what, because I always feel like, you know, we're always running out of room, right? So that's why one of the reasons why we push mashed potatoes is like, well, we got this other starch.
Yeah.
You know, so it's dressing, sweet potatoes, and a green vegetable or two.
Yeah.
And turkey. And that's
I think it's plenty.
It's plenty.
You know? You know?
But sometimes you feel like, well, you've got, here's mashed potatoes, here's this thing, and you're like 12 different things. And you're like, oh my goodness, I feel like I need to taste it all.
Right.
But
and you end up getting just the tiniest little bit of each thing.
Yeah.
You know?
So that's why paring it down, I think, has been a little, I don't know, nicer.
Yeah, and I think it's easy to try to go overboard on these holiday meals. And really, if you've got the basics, you just make it easier on yourself, you know? Just don't try to do 15 things.
Yes.
But, yeah, I mean, I think rolls are good, and they're pretty traditional.
Yeah. Now, your grandmother used to make
homemade
wheat rolls. Those were great.
They were good. Yeah. The trick is, I would say, if you've got a lot of kids around, don't let them tank up on just rolls. Yeah. Make them try turkey and dressing and cranberries and whatever first.
Yeah, and it's so easy. There's some great frozen rolls.
Yeah.
But yeah, I still want to do those homemade ones.
We need to try that sometime.
Those are so good. So, but anyway, so yeah, lots of sides, lots of side options, mm-hmm. you know, and then you got to have gravy.
Oh, yeah.
A gravy's a food group at our house. You know, the gravy is as important, I think, to our children as the dressing.
I totally agree.
Maybe second to the turkey.
And I think that's one reason why they were always big on the mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
It's because even though you can put gravy on dressing, they really associated it with putting it on
mashed potatoes. It's really just a carrier for the gravy.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. So gravy, I talked about it a little bit last episode, but I take the, neck and things from the turkey, the giblets. I use just not a huge saucepan, but just a saucepan, and then I put some water in there, a little bit of salt, a little bit of pepper, and just let it cook, simmer until they're cooked. And then that's the base. We, you know, of course, do a somewhat of a cream sauce type process.
Yeah, with a roux.
A roux. Use the
or
stock.
Or you can use the pan drippings, which is the fat.
Which I do, yeah. And so usually I'll go ahead and make with the stock and the roux, that portion of the gravy, without seasoning it too much, because the pan drippings will carry a lot of seasoning.
Yeah, they're usually pretty salty.
And then I'll add the pan drippings for the kind of the coup de grace on that end. And that's really about all it takes.
Yeah, it's maybe a little cream,
little bit of
half and half or something. But it's definitely a brown gravy.
And that just, I don't know that you could have too much gravy.
No, I don't. Especially homemade gravy.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you know, there's some powdered mixes and things out there, but I'm going to tell you, nothing compares to a homemade gravy.
And it's really not that hard.
No.
No.
It really isn't. It's a skill if you can take the time and practice, maybe a little bit ahead of Thanksgiving,
you will
never regret learning how to make gravy.
Make
from
a white
scratch.
Sauce. Learn how to make a white sauce.
Exactly.
Once you make a white sauce, just take your milk out and put in your turkey stock, and you've got gravy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's smooth, and it's got a nice body to it. And then you add the fat and the seasoning for the drippings, and it gets that much better.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, that's it for the sides, and I guess Thanksgiving. Of course, we haven't talked about pies.
Well, that might be a whole other podcast episode.
Absolutely. All right. Well, for this week with Sweet Tea and Tacos, I'm Dave.
And I'm Jen. And have a happy Thanksgiving.